You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome to the Burner Podcast. I mean the Leftovers Podcast.
Jeez.
Hey, man, do what you gotta do.
Apparently.
If people with burner accounts want to be savages and try to hide it, I'm gonna be the savage and go ahead and say something right away about it. Because again, if you're gonna sound like a jackass, you might as well just do it straight up. I'm Derek Kramer.
I'm Frank R. Curry.
This is the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com and on demand audio.
I'm pretty sure there's a burner account somewhere.
If there's a burner account for us, they're trying too hard.
That's fair.
So, Frank, help me here. What the hell is the point of a burner account? Like, what does it really do for you? Really?
It's pretty much like a troll account. Like, it's only there for negativity.
Do you know where we live? What era we live in? What people are?
Yeah, I know, right?
People don't understand. You got something to say, say it.
Yeah, pretty much.
You got something to say, you got something bad to say about your teammate? Say it.
Yeah.
You got something bad to say about how the organization is going for you? Say it. You got something bad to say about your jackass friend? Say it to them. I thought it was ridiculous when Kevin Durant had this burner account thing happen. And it's a great joke then. And it's still great now. I love making fun of Kevin Durant with the burner account thing. It's one of my favorite things to do. I'll never forget when Skip Bayless accidentally... gave praise on his own Facebook live stream as himself because he forgot to switch accounts. That was retweeted from me earlier today at Derek Kramer WGR.
That's really funny,
dude. It's I look. If you've got something to say, just say it. Don't be disingenuous. Just be upfront. Be yourself. How hard is that supposed to be in this day and age? And here I am saying that. And gotta remember, hey, it's this day and age. Nobody's freaking honest about everything these days.
No one's themselves.
And you know what? We need people to do that more.
No one's themselves when they're behind a computer screen or a cell phone.
I've got a computer in front of me. I'm still me. Even while typing.
Maybe that's we're the rare exception.
Maybe that's just because I'm weird. I don't know.
I mean, that's probably the case.
Shut up, Frank. See? Look at that. That was pretty. Where's that burner account for that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need it. And this is ridiculous. And obviously, we're talking about this because the president of the 76ers, Brian, was it? Yeah. Brian burner account.
Yeah.
There you go.
Colangelo,
yes. So Brian Colangelo or Colangelo or something like that. And
Colangelo, I think it's yeah. I think it's what it is.
So Brian Colangelo, the president of the 76ers.
The president of the team.
Had, what was it, as many as 5 burner accounts?
That's what was reported.
And that's what's being reported. With, and it, I don't get it. It baffles me why you would even jeopardize your job as the head of the team.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would you do it? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes no sense.
So, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. So, look, and here's the story on this. I mean, I don't understand why you would need to have a burner account to say anything. And, oh, God, it just, hang on, pause. I need to get the story up. There we go. Obviously, here the story is. It's the Philadelphia 76ers have started an investigation about tweets linked to team president Brian Colangelo that criticized Sixers players, including Joel Embiid and Markelle Fultz. Hey, hang on a second. Wasn't Sam Hinkie fired before Fultz was drafted?
Yes.
Wouldn't that mean that Fultz was a Colangelo-era pick?
Yeah, because he's the president and the GM.
So that means you're burning your own pick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but hey, dummy, you made the pick. If the man can't shoot a jump shot, that makes 2 players that can't shoot a jump shot that have been drafted by the team. And you picked one of them guaranteed.
I don't know what else
so,
I can say about
so
this.
Keep making fun. Look, Embiid was a Hinkie pick, if I'm not mistaken, right? When was was Sam Hinkie ousted?
Good question.
I'm looking it up right now for you.
He resigned in the 15-16 season.
2016 was the last season that he spent with the 76ers. So, look, man. You want to go ahead and try something like this? Go ahead. I dare you. But it just... Look, man. Embiid is one thing. That wasn't his pick. That's fair. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Embiid was taken 2014. But, dude, you picked Markelle Fultz because, for example, Sam Hinkie got you that pick.
Yeah.
Now you're trashing the pick that you made. I'm sorry, but should you make fun of him or should you start pointing the finger back at yourself?
Yeah.
And how insecure do you have to be in order to have 5 burner accounts? Dude, you know what you do? If you're frustrated about something, if you're frustrated about work, do what literally everyone else does. Go to the bar, have a couple beverages, and just talk to your friends because your friends aren't going to go ahead and rat you out on anything. And I'm not talking about just your work friends. I'm talking about your actual friends, damn it. That's what you do. You vent about it there.
Yeah.
Talk to your spouse. It's what relationships are for.
Yeah.
don't put 5 burner accounts on your cell phone. All the accounts are linked back to a number that ended in 91, which means that there's someone there with one number that has all these accounts linked to it. If you're going to do it, do it right. If you're going to be an a-hole like that, just do it right.
Yeah.
Or don't do it at all. I hope he gets fired. Should I get a burner account for that?
Yes.
I'll put it on your phone.
Oh, my God. Under my number?
Yes, I'll put it under your number so they look at you.
Oh, God.
I'll put it under... Put it under my uncle's phone or something like
that. Yeah.
Look, at the end of the day, it just comes down to this. Don't do it because you're going to look like an ass. It's as simple as that. The internet always wins. It is undefeated. You cannot win against the internet. You can't. It just will not happen. If you don't like something, say it. Simple as that.
Yep.
Or don't say it at all. Because this always gets found out. This kind of crap that is so silly and so stupid, the internet always wins. You cannot outsmart the internet. You can't. As a matter of fact, one of our coworkers, Mike Jafari, he told me a really super messed up fantasy story. It was fantasy baseball.
Yeah.
He was in a league, and he found out that there were three... Well, no, it's not that he found out. There were three co-commissioners in this league. And he found out that one of them was using his commissioner power to retroactively put his best lineups in. Like, after they had all played. But then using the commissioner power to hide the changes he was making. But the internet always wins. And they went to the site.
Oh.
They called the people that run the site.
Yeah.
And they got the transactions because the internet always wins.
It always wins.
So they caught a cheater.
That's an interesting story.
The internet always wins. It is unbeaten. It will never be beaten. The minute it does, the world will explode. You see Age of Ultron? Makes enough sense. Don't try to mess with it.
Yeah.
You ever see Terminator? Don't mess with the internet, man.
Yeah.
Use it for stupidity on the other side of things. Use it to laugh. Because if you use it to trash people, at the end of the day, you're gonna lose. I don't like doing much with politics in this podcast. But Donald Trump, how many times do you see people retweet something and say, there's a tweet for everything? Duh. The internet wins. Always. Always and forever. Brian Colangelo, you're going to lose your job. Oh, and if you don't, guess what? I said it on the internet, I'm going to be wrong. And that's okay.
And then I'm going to make a burner account and make fun of you for it.
Then you see, I'm going to find that out. And I'm going to throw an egg at your face.
Egg?
Not that violent. But that's what, like...
Yeah.
It just doesn't make any sense.
No, it
never
doesn't.
Never will.
It doesn't. It... No.
Look, it just... It baffles me that people need to go behind their backs to say something negative about people. You are the general manager. You talk to your players about it. Simple as that. It's one thing if Kevin Durant's got a burner account to interact with fans and say, oh, KD's not all that bad. He's not a bad guy. Well, guess what? You look like a fool, KD. And yes, I would never be able to stop you on a basketball court. Ever. Like, if we had... I think it was Bulldog that had said something like this. He brought it up a couple of weeks ago. Say, like, someone brought it up to him, and the question was, if you were at a gym one-on-one with Kevin Durant and you had to make a stop,
but like you had to make a defensive stop. Like he had to miss a basket or something.
Yeah.
And you had to get the ball back. Would you die? Because he wouldn't stop until you got that basketball back? Would you die? I would die. I would not be able to cause Kevin Durant to miss a basket. And I probably wouldn't be able to get the rebound back either. 5'11". I can't jump. I'm not good at basketball. I'm terrible at it. I'm barely an athlete anymore. But guess what? I'm going to make fun of you for being a dummy with your burner accounts.
That's true. That's very true.
You may be much more successful than I ever will be. But I don't have a burner account, man.
Not yet.
I won't.
No,
I never will.
I know you won't.
It's so dumb.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. It's so stupid. Whatever. I'm blabbering on about this. I haven't really even dug into this story that much. And I just... It's whatever. I don't know. I don't know how to... Whatever. I'm done talking about this.
Okay.
It's so stupid.
Yeah.
It is so stupid. All right. Frank, we started off on an unusual stretch here.
Yeah.
And, well, let's get back to doing something that we know how to do right. Bills OTAs are starting up again for week two.
Yep.
And more on this conversation about Nathan Peterman is showing up. And Ryan and I talked about this on the nightcap yesterday. And everything that we had said back on Sunday, you know, about the national media, there was more of that conversation that the national media would make fun of the Bills if McCarron or Allen are not the starters and Peterman is. Look, the Bills still like Nathan Peterman. That regime does. They brought him in. He was technically the first quarterback they drafted that regime.
Yep.
So, no. Look, it's OTAs.
Not Bean at least, but McDermott.
It's OTAs. Let's give it a rest. Training camp, when the bullets fly, that's when things are really going to take shape. Because right now, it doesn't make sense to really talk too much about the quarterback scenarios. It's still very realistic, though, that Nathan Peterman does end up the Bills starter. Because all it means is that Josh Allen's not ready, which many project, and A.J. McCarron either gets hurt or puts up a bum
really
preseason.
Bad.
Yeah, he puts up a bum preseason. It's as simple as that. Look, I think that the Bills are going to be fine no matter what at quarterback here. I also think they're not going to make the playoffs. They're going to develop Josh Allen the way that they see fit and the way that it might work best for him and for the organization long term. If that means Nathan Peterman starts some games this season, that's what it's going to be. And we're going to hear this stupid crap from the national media, and we're going to hear this stupid crap from fans of other teams. That, oh, the guy that threw five interceptions. Look, it's going to happen. Whatever.
It's narratives, man.
It's narratives. It's lazy. It's... Sometimes it's right, spot on. But at the same time, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much I can really look into this. You want to know what I want to look into, though, with the Bills?
What's that?
How much better is this defense going to be?
Yeah.
Because think about it. This team, defensively, was middle of the pack last year. They tended to be a bend but don't break defense. They would allow drives, but they would try to end up minimizing points being scored against them, particularly in the red zone. No, this defense is going to be better. I liked Preston Brown. I thought he was a capable and serviceable middle linebacker. In a 4-3 system.
Yeah.
He looked terrible in Rex's defense because he's a 3-4 middle linebacker. He's not a 3-4 middle linebacker. Just like a lot of players weren't 3-4 players. God, I hate it that they wasted our time with Rex Ryan. I still hate it. Just took 2 years out of our life. Preston Brown's a serviceable starter as a middle linebacker. Tremaine Edmonds might have more athletic upside than Preston Brown ever did. Not even might. He does have more athletic upside than Preston Brown ever did. Because I remember one of the big comps on Preston Brown was Brandon Spikes. Ironically, when they had Brandon Spikes in Buffalo,
yeah,
they drafted Preston Brown. I'm like, that's interesting. Perfect guy to learn from. More athletic than Brandon Spikes and might be able to help out with passing downs. And I liked the pick then. And it was a serviceable pick. And Preston Brown was a good Buffalo Bill. Tremaine Edmonds might blow that out of the water.
He sure looks like it.
And that's just the beginning of this. Matt Milano takes his next step in year two.
Yep.
As the starter. Lorenzo Alexander will hold, at the very least, hold serve on the strong side.
Yeah.
The secondary is another year wiser. It may take a step back on the other side, opposite Tre'Davious White at corner. I don't know about that, though. I respect Vontae Davis's game. And for 1 year, well, let's see what you get out of him.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, one of the best safety tandems,
yep.
One of the most underrated safety tandems in the NFL. And then you've got yourself another chance. The defensive line is the biggest problem. You saw it last year when Marcell Dareus got traded. They were getting hemorrhaged in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Phillips comes in. Star Lotulelei comes in.
Yeah.
Lotulelei is... All right. In hockey, the term plug means that you're a useless player. In football, Lotulelei is a plug in the sense of he's taking two blockers. You're not moving this man. Latulele's best ability is being able to draw one-on-one matchups for your other players. Because you try leaving Star Latulele one-on-one with someone, it's not going to end well. He is a space eater. Go ahead, run it right at him. I dare you. So this means that Kyle Williams will have one-on-one. Even at his age, Kyle Williams still has the best anticipation with the snap count. Kyle Williams still can get to the quarterback. Jerry Hughes gets one-on-one now. Okay. Jerry Hughes was getting a lot of attention, as many as three blockers last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Trent Murphy plays anywhere near his contract, you're going to get more from the pass rush. Shaq Lawson seems to get it now. He had a very, very nice interview with Josh Reed, saying that, you know, he's starting to do the things that he didn't do before as a pro. That means he's starting to get it. He doesn't want to take it for granted, and he's ready to step up. And if that means that you get some version of the Shaq Lawson at Clemson,
oh,
happy times.
That's
happy
scary.
Times.
And now, too.
Like, he's realizing and he's motivated. Guess what that means?
Yeah.
You're going to get a guy who's playing harder. Shaq Lawson, of course, has the natural talent.
Yeah.
And if he's realizing this, he looked at himself and he said, I've got to do things better. I've got to prepare better. I've got to prove to the fans and the coaches that I am worth a damn here.
And then you got
that man's
also,
playing. The man's playing for a roster spot and a starting job. If that's not going to show me a motivated player, oh man! And he is motivated. He's ready to go. And this means that I'm going to predict it that we're going to see a Shaq Lawson that gets at least 6 or 7 sacks this year.
There's also a lot of depth.
Yes.
On the defensive line as well, because you mentioned Trent Murphy. You still got Harrison Phillips. You got Harrison Phillips. You mentioned him. You got Adolphus Washington. You got Eddie Yarbrough. So, yeah, and you got Odighizuwa, too. So, not only does the front four look good, but behind it as well, the second guys look can be just there, right there with them. My only question on the defense will be from the linebacking core. Especially, you know, because there's not a ton of depth. You've got really your three guys, and then after that, it's not much. There's even, I mean, and then the secondary, we're talking about it. You got the depth there as well. You drafted Teron Johnson. You drafted Saron Neal. You got Lafayette Pitts. You signed Raphael Bush.
Phillip Gaines and another corner in the secondary.
Yep.
Taron Johnson might be a guy playing for that nickel spot, by the way, against Phillip Gaines. Like, there might be some good competition there.
So, and that's gonna be the depth that you need.
This defense is going to be better. What does that mean for the team overall? I don't know. Can the offense be better? Well, it's kind of hard to be worse than it was last year.
Yeah.
In the passing game.
Running back, we're fine.
Running back, you're fine.
We're good. We still got Shady. He's going to do Shady things.
Is the run blocking going to remain the same?
Yeah.
John Miller looks like he's poised to take back that guard position from Vlad Dukas. But the right guard is still unsettled. No, excuse me, the left guard is now unsettled because of the retirement of Richie Incognito.
Yes.
Center is unsettled because of the retirement of Eric Wood. By the way, I say retirement with Incognito very loosely.
This is true. But, I mean, with the left guard, you drafted Wyatt Teller, who you love.
Oh, yeah. He's a mean dude. Pick.
Yeah.
That is a mean dude. Did you know he only let up one sack in his career at Virginia Tech?
That's scary.
Yeah.
That's pretty scary.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
So
I think the staff is expecting Ryan Groy to take the center spots.
They signed Russell Bodine.
They did.
So Bodine's going to be a competition there. Here's the good news about the Bills offense. There is a lot of competition, and competition generally brings out the best in players.
Yeah.
At wide receiver, behind Calvin Benjamin, especially now. Well, I mean, Zay Jones is going to be competing for where he's going to play. He's mm-hmm. going to be on the outside. He's going to be in the slot. If he's going to be on the outside, he's going to have more or less the job kind of mostly his. If he's going to be playing in the slot, well, there's a lot more competition there. Offensive line, you've got Dukas, you've got Groy, you've got Teller, and you've also got John Miller. No spot is set with those two guard positions.
Yes.
With center, you've got Groy, you've got Bodine. At right tackle, you have Marshall Newhouse coming in to challenge Jordan Mills. The only one that's set in stone
is left tackle.
Is Deion Dawkins.
Yep.
At quarterback, you have McCarron, you have Peterman, you have Josh Allen. The only positions that are locks for the Bills are Benjamin, Clay, and McCoy, and Dawkins. That's it. Everything else, well, and DeMarco at fullback. Everything else is a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And that generally brings out the best in someone. It harkens back to the Tyrod, Castle, EJ competition. It brought the best out in all three of those guys at points in the competition. I thought Castle was the distant third. I thought EJ actually played pretty dang well, but not well enough because Tyrod played better. That's a hot take, by the way. but EJ looked like he was trying to fight for that competition, fight for his job. He ended up keeping his job. It was Castle that ended up dealt. But Tyrod Taylor stepped up.
Yeah.
Competition makes people step up. It's going to happen. We're going to see someone win a competition, and they're going to be a nice little surprise and an added boost to this team. Jordan Poyer was fighting for the other safety spot last season. That turned out pretty good. Right? I'd say so.
Yeah.
Either that or McBean knew what they were getting all along. Maybe they did.
Maybe they did.
Maybe they did. But he still was not handed anything. I think this team really has the chance to be better overall. Does that mean playoffs again? No. They overachieved last year.
They overachieved and they got lucky.
But the main point being is that they overachieved to get themselves to a point to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
To be awarded by Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
But at the same time, obviously, we have to see a second season here. Can Sean McDermott get the most out of these players again? My guess? Probably. Simple as that.
I think so. I think that makes sense.
So, what do you... it still ends with the... Oh, yeah, the Bills have a tough schedule again. Guess what? They did last year. Neat. Yeah,
neat.
I can't look at last year's schedule because every team is different. There's only one team that's always the same. Patriots.
It's true.
Duh.
Duh.
Yawn. God, I can't wait for them to suck. I can't wait for them to just be terrible.
Will only happen when Belichick's gone.
Mm.
You know I'm right.
I know, but I hate it.
But you know what? That's what makes this upcoming Bills season so exciting.
Yeah. It. I'm just going to wait and see.
You yeah, know? That's this really all you can is. Do. That's really all you can do.
I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to. Obviously, a lot depends on who's the quarterback.
Yeah.
But honestly, does it really? You're either going to have a rookie, and there's ups and downs with rookies. You're going to have a free agent who has only three more starts than Nathan Peterman. Or you're going to have Peterman, who has two career starts to his name. You got five combined starts in your quarterbacks.
One of which was a snow game.
Yeah. You got five combined starts in your quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So, of course, that's going to mean that we're going to have some ups and downs. There's not a lot of starting experience in this team.
No.
At quarterback. Who cares? Because if they can play, they can play.
That's all that matters.
Simple as that.
Yep.
All right, Frank. Game two.
The Stanley Cup Final.
Wow.
What a game one. Monday. What a game one.
Can you follow that up properly? Can you? I don't think you can.
I mean, you could.
I don't think you can.
The game would have to go like 7-6 for that to happen.
Yeah.
But I doubt it will.
No, it just... yeah, I... No, this is...
Vegas takes game one, 6-4.
So much scoring. So much offensive potential and creativity.
Chances
in this game.
Galore.
For getting five goals scored on him, Braden Holtby was trying to be as solid as possible.
Yeah.
For having four goals scored on him, Marc-Andre Fleury was trying to be as solid as possible and made spectacular saves as well.
Yeah.
Vegas's fourth line was just on an unreal pace that night.
Yeah, once the third period, once the second half of the game hit, they took over. That yeah. line, they scored the last three goals.
And it's so bizarre. But.
That's what happens in the playoffs.
That's what happens sometimes. But the biggest thing is, now, here's my problem. Ready? Narratives.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, it's the fourth line. You know what? No. Like, the fourth line's creating so much pressure. Yes, you are right. But that's also Gerard Gallant's system. Yeah. Every line is doing that. Every line does
you,
that.
You see it. And you saw it in game one. He's not afraid to put that fourth line out there in an offensive zone faceoff. He's not afraid to put them out there whenever. If it's their turn to go out, he'll put them out.
Yeah,
it's not just that's an energy line. No, that's a line, that's part of their rotation. They will roll four lines and everyone will do the same thing.
His system is all about pressuring the defense, getting a heavy forecheck, and getting in there and trying to disrupt
and using
the
all four lines to do it.
Disrupt the breakout. That's the plan, and that's what you saw them do against the Jets with precision. You saw it again against the Caps. Washington, by the way, held their own the whole game. Exactly what I said, Frank. Granted, they just couldn't respond to that last goal.
Yeah.
Braden McNabb coming down, two hands with that stick on Lars Eller in front of the net, saved the game.
Yeah.
Is it textbook slashing? Yes. Is it going to be called? Only if the stick breaks.
Yeah, pretty much.
They swallowed the... We'll talk about the rest in a bit. But... Washington, every time there was a problem, they bounced back. And that is why if we don't get a 7-game series, everyone's going to get ripped off.
They had the lead, too.
But this game was back and forth. There were periods of dominance by each side.
Yep.
They both proved that they deserve to be in the Stanley Cup final.
Yep.
There's no flukes. This is, let's see what happens, best team wins. There was no dominant goalie. There was no dominant goalie, Frank. If this series keeps on like this, Marc-Andre Fleury's not winning the Conn Smythe, man.
He might still.
I don't know. I mean, It might turn into Marchessault or Carlson or Riley Smith.
It could. Or Ovechkin or Kuznetsov.
Or Ovechkin or Kuznetsov. Or, ready? There were two players in Washington in game one that were undoubtedly the best players on that team. They were not Ovechkin. They were not Kuznetsov. They were not Holpe. They were not Carlson.
It wasn't.
It was TJ Oshie.
Yes.
And it was Andrei Burakovsky.
Yeah, he had a really good game.
He's had a really great two games.
Yeah.
That game seven against Tampa, he had two goals.
Yep.
Breaking through a playoff slump where he had no points. Burakovsky, I was amazed by his zone entries all game against Vegas. And with Ovechkin's line dealing with, I can't believe I have to say this, a shutdown pairing that includes Braden McNabb. Thanks, Tim Murray. You have something that you, and Nate Schmidt on the other side of that defensive pairing.
Former cap.
That hurts. Again, this is, with the top line facing a shutdown pairing, they still managed to get a goal as well. You need your team's depth to show up. And these teams, the both of them, their third and fourth lines were productive. It's not even that they were just skating well. They were productive. They put points up. I am so ready for seven games of this series.
Yeah, I really am.
Again, I will feel ripped off if not. And
this has the potential to be one of the best cup finals.
Yeah,
ones ever.
It's got to go six or seven. There's no way. I do not want a fluky little five game set, because both of these teams deserve this series to go to the stretch because they're playing like it. But what does Washington have to do? They have to steal one in Vegas. There is no way around it. They are one of the better road teams, though, in the postseason, at least this year. That was a large part of their success, was winning on the road. A lot. They took three of them in Tampa. They have to... I have faith that they will get one in Vegas. Maybe even two. But they're going to need to in order to win this thing.
Yeah, it's really going to come down to
because Vegas
who
is skilled enough that
the
they're going to win one in Washington. There's no home sweeping here. It's not going to happen.
I doubt it.
There's no way it. Because Washington's too good on the road, and in front of their own fans, there's going to be a nervous energy. They have to take one on the road. And I think that, honestly, I think they'll do it in game two.
They can. I wouldn't be shocked if they did.
It really, this is a flip of the coin for everything in this series.
Yeah, no matter what you talk about, just flip a coin.
At least I didn't look like a jackass. Okay? I think that Washington can win this thing. And they played like they could. Now, was that Ryan Reeves goal a load of stuff? No, I mean, yeah, but at the same time, no. And here's why. Those things happen in front of the net all of the time. The surprising part was that it was the team that had the puck in the offensive zone that threw the cross check in front of the net. That was the shock.
Yeah.
Normally, it is the defender putting the stick into the back of a person sitting in front of the net. And it happens all the time in hockey.
It's part of it.
Playoffs, regular season, rarely gets called.
Yep. That's true.
The surprising fact was that it was Ryan Reeves doing it in front of the Washington net.
That's the only surprise.
That's the only surprise, is that you saw a player do that.
Yeah.
And then he happened to have the puck fall in front of him.
Yeah.
Luck. Yeah. Part of that is creating your own luck. Like you said before on the last podcast, part of that's creating your own luck. But the other part of it is this. The refs swallowed the whistles. Why? You haven't done it all postseason. All of a sudden, it's the Stanley Cup on the line. You start to do it. No. I'm a little shocked at Wes McCauley's crew that night, because you didn't need to swallow the whistles. Because, well, A, we could have seen an 8-5 or 8-6 game. And B, the biggest thing is this. You need to stay consistent with the season. And the postseason was consistent with the season. The most egregious one that was missed was not Tom Wilson. They got it back.
No, because that one was called.
But they had to get it back. That's the strangest thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't Ryan Reeves. It was in the first period.
Oh, are you talking about the Orlov?
Dmitry Orlov has the right arm of David Perron.
Yeah.
And I am laughing this entire time watching this going, how is that not being called? Look, I want the Caps to win, man. But how is that penalty not getting called? He is holding his arm, wrapping it with his right arm. Perron's got one hand on the stick trying to dig this thing off the wall, and Orlov has no business holding his arm like that.
Yeah.
And that was just one of many times that the refs should have called a power play for another team. There were only two power plays in this whole game. Vegas went 1-for-1, and Washington went 0-for-1. Is that really the difference of the game? No, because there weren't that many opportunities. You called a grand total of four penalties in this game when there should have been more. Stay consistent, because you were doing fine this postseason. You have to stay consistent. Because these teams played like they should have been called for penalties. It's as simple as that. Stay consistent. Gerard Gallant wasn't wrong when he said that both teams were kind of sloppy. It was a sloppy game. It's what happens. I think that I'm excited. I just need the refs to not go ahead and try to muck this up again.
Yeah.
In a way that, you know, it slows things down. It makes things ridiculous. I don't want fans to be saying, oh yeah, but the refs. They didn't do this. They didn't call this. They didn't call this. Guess what? Call everything consistently like you have. Complaints about the refs when they're making these calls all postseason is bupkis. Because they've been making these calls consistently throughout the year. Everyone thought at the start of the year, oh, look at all these penalties. This might taper off. And then it didn't. All throughout the season, it kept being consistent with the calls. Oh, the playoffs are about to start. They're definitely going to swallow the whistles. No, that hasn't been the case. You're seeing more goals, more scoring, because more penalties are being called. Teams are allowed to put their skilled power plays out there. The Caps survived the Tampa Bay Lightning.
They did.
Because Tampa didn't show up at even strength.
Yeah.
They made a 7-game series out of Washington because they were scoring almost exclusively on the power play. Stamkos in particular. Keep it consistent. Don't ruin this for me. Because, damn it, this is a fun series even without the penalties being called. Based on game one.
What are you expecting out of game two tonight?
I'm expecting more of the same. Because I think that... I think that the refs do call more penalties. And that means that the... Look, you're not going to get 6-4 at even strength all the time.
No.
This is where they're going to call some more penalties. It's going to put the goal scoring back up. And it's going to be another 5-4, 6-4, something like that.
I don't think it's going to go that route. I think it's going to be more the same in terms of there's going to be a lot of speed. There's going to be a lot of offensive chances. However,
that's where the goals are coming from.
I also think there's going to be a lot more sloppiness.
You think that the Nets and the defense are going to stabilize?
Yes. But there's still going to be a lot of chances. There's still going to be a lot of speed.
And I think
so. I could see game two going in the route of like a 4-2 game. Whether it's Washington or Vegas.
And I think that the makeup for it, they're going to clean their games up, but the makeup and the reason that I think there's going to be another 5-3 game here is they're going to call some more penalties. They're going to call what's deserved. Particularly because Tom Wilson. Let's talk about that hit real quick.
Let's talk about that hit real quick.
And it's as simple as this for me. I think they got the call right. They didn't initially. And
yeah,
that
they did
frustrated
initially.
Me because they needed to go back and do it.
Yeah.
How often do you see a penalty retroactively called? Not very often. But the refs even realized, dude, we screwed this up pretty bad. We got to put him in the box. David Perron is lucky that Alex Ovechkin didn't start swinging after he got cross-checked in the face. Because Perron would have automatically gotten a 10-game suspension.
It's true.
Like, that's a rulebook suspension. Like there's no there's no subjectivity to it. If Ovechkin would have started a fight with him after getting cross-checked in the face because Perron came off the bench and started and threw the cross-check up.
Yeah.
If there was a scuffle because of that, he would have been suspended because he wasn't supposed to be out there.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Wilson's hit on Marchessault. Was it late? Yes.
Yeah.
Was it interference? Absolutely.
Big time.
Was it suspendable? No. I don't even know if it was worth a major and a game. But it definitely was interference. It was a rough hit. But I knew that when Marchessault got hit from that, and he was screaming at Tom Wilson afterward, he didn't have a concussion. I mean, good for the spotters to take him anyway.
Yeah, they kind of had to.
But, because it looks like it, at real time, that he does do that. But you look at the frame by frame, and you see, to Tom Wilson's credit, rare that you get to say that.
Yeah.
On a physical play, at least, from Tom Wilson. Because to his credit, he's been putting up points for this team, too. To Tom Wilson's credit, he keeps the elbow tucked. He puts the shoulder into the arm of Jonathan
Marchessault. It was shoulder to shoulder.
When it comes to the hit itself, it was, by all accounts, clean in that regard.
Yes.
The timing,
but obviously,
late, a little dirty.
Yeah.
The intent, possibly dirty, but he doesn't leave his feet. He makes sure that the principal point of contact is not the head, not suspendable. Not at all. And Marchessault, he was salty about it. Now, of course, you're going to get rocked like that and you get taken back by the trainers and you don't get to play right away. You're going to be salty. And it was kind of a dirty play, but that does not mean it was a suspendable one.
It's not a suspendable hit. I think this is just a similar hit that you see all the time. It's not one where he is trying to injure Marchessault. He's just trying to make a hit, where that's what players do. They will hit each other. It was just late. That's it. Because if Marchessault has the puck when he gets hit like that, or just as he passes it and he gets hit, that will not be called. It will not be called by anyone, because it would be looked at as a clean hit.
If I got rocked like that, I'd be pissed too.
Of course you would.
But to say that the NHL will take care of it, well, they did, and
I think the NHL made the right call. And the NHL did the right thing. The refs did the right thing in the moment as well by calling him for.
The linesman
afterwards.
The linesman got onto them on that one.
That's the thing.
The crew bitched at each other for a little bit, saying, "Hey, you guys missed something there."
That's what I meant.
The linesman was right there and did not call something.
That's what I meant. The refs did do the right thing
by getting the call
afterwards.
Back.
Yeah. It was just an interference hit.
Yes.
Nothing dirty.
I agree.
Because us as fans have to remember, you can still get concussed from a clean hit.
Yes.
People forget that. People assume if you get concussed, it's because it's a dirty hit.
For example, Marchessault could have had his head bounce off the ice from that hit.
It looked like it a little bit, but it wasn't a violent
smack on the ice.
A shoulder-to-shoulder hit can still cause a concussion because of whiplash.
Yes. And that's why the spotter took him.
Exactly. That doesn't make it dirty.
But that hit was a little dirty at the same time.
It doesn't make it a dirty hit. It just makes Wilson, it dirty in terms of it was interference.
But Wilson did not late. Charge.
No, he didn't.
He did not
charge. He just skated right at him.
He tucked his shoulder and he put him in.
There's nothing. And the NHL made the right call.
If Marchessault had the puck, that is a highlight hit.
Yeah, that's a highlight reel. Yeah. That's a hit of the year.
And you can parade that around the streets.
Yeah.
But like you said, there is a possibility that even that kind of hit, if Marchessault still had the puck, shouldn't be playing in the NHL if he still had the puck. but it's just one of those things where you're coming across and, yeah, does Marchessault need to keep skating? I think so.
Yeah.
Because he kind of stares at his pass a little bit.
Yeah, he kind of, yeah.
But Tom Wilson needs to let up on that.
We have to remember. Let's use a little bit of nostalgia. Sabres. 2006 playoffs, the Campbell hit on Umberger.
Yes.
That was a clean hit.
that caused a concussion. Umberger got a concussion from that hit. We don't remember that. We just remember that as being a highlight reel hit. It was a clean hit. It was a highlight reel hit. If that same hit, which you do see in the NHL today, but if that exact same play happens, nothing would come out of it. It would just be looked at as a highlight reel hit that unfortunately caused an injury. That's all what it is. And that's all what this Wilson hit is, except it was late.
Yeah.
Nothing more.
It was late. It was interference.
It's an interference
textbook.
Hit. Yeah.
The linesman missed it.
They missed it at first. They missed it bad. Then, yeah. They missed it at first, but then they got it right.
But the reason that, like, the fact that they needed to go back to do it,
yeah, just that tells me that
crew
something.
Really did not do a good job that night.
I would imagine. I would hope that the NHL at least talked to them and said that they got to do a better job tonight.
I have faith that that crew's going to clean it up tonight.
I would have faith in that too.
All right. So, are we doing this or what?
We have to. We have to.
Well, then you start it.
We're supposed to be a sports podcast, right? I think
we are
here in the Leftovers podcast.
We are a sports podcast.
Yeah,
it is.
But we also love our games. We love our video games.
We're nerds.
Sure,
absolutely. How many times? Hell, I made a Avengers reference earlier.
You did
in this podcast.
You did.
We're dorks. It's okay. Whatever.
We enjoy other things.
And you should in life.
Yeah. We have other hobbies. That doesn't just involve sports. Yeah.
Sports are... Look, people always tell me the quickest way to an argument is politics or religion. Guess what? Sports is pretty close third.
Yeah.
Really damn close third.
It's the third
quickest way to start a very vitriol and hate-filled fight.
It really can, yeah. It does.
I'll never forget when Rob Ray told a Rangers fan that his team sucks at 716. On the air. And that guy got pissed. They were trying to get him kicked out.
Yeah.
He had to go over there and apologize to him. Like, that was the social experiment.
Okay.
We're off track.
Yeah. What's the reason we're talking about this?
Frank, you do it.
Derek and I...
All right, you know what? Fine, I'll do it.
Okay,
I'll lead it in.
Okay, fine.
I'm an adult.
We are adults.
I'm an adult. I bought a Nintendo Switch strictly for the sake of Pokemon today, and I am not ashamed.
And I will do the same thing later. Later on,
I'm not ashamed of this.
Derek and I are big Pokemon fans. We have been Pokemon fans for our whole lives. I've been playing Pokemon since the original Red and Blue came out here in the U.S.
In the
late 90s.
We had clips in previous podcasts based on smoke screens and draft
season. Oh, my God. That's right. You used the coughing things.
Yes.
That's right. So, last night, Nintendo and Pokemon Game Freak made an announcement that... Well, three games are coming to the Nintendo. It's three.
Damn.
It's technically three.
Wow.
It's two, like, in terms of a series, but what in terms of, like, the games, but it's technically three games. Pokemon Quest, which we're not really going to talk about that much, but that was okay. The first one.
But these two are the hype.
The two new games for Pokemon Switch, the RPG games, Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. Now... The reason we're so excited about it is because it's essentially a remake of Pokemon Yellow for the original Game Boy.
Let's go.
Exactly. That's why it's called Let's Go.
That's just me. Let's go!
Which is amazing. So it brings you back to it. Pretty much it's all nostalgic.
Oh, yeah. This is hyper nostalgic. Now,
the biggest thing that I took away from the press conference.
My biggest thing is this. Ready?
What's that?
And it's strictly this. There's a Pokemon game coming out for a console.
Yeah.
That's the big thing for me.
Yeah.
I get to slap it on a big screen TV.
Yeah.
F and A, Cotton. F and A. Okay? That's my biggest reason right there. I don't need another reason right there. I don't need to even get into the details, bro. It's I got a Pokemon game for a console, and I just bought a console strictly for that reason today. Okay? Everyone was telling me, like, dude, you need to get a Nintendo Switch. Why? The new Zelda game is amazing. Super Mario Odyssey is incredible. This did it for me. Okay?
Yeah.
This did it. Maybe it's a gateway for me jumping into those other games, but this did it for me. All my life I was waiting for a Pokemon game to come out to a console.
There's something of this caliber.
Yes.
You've had some. I mean, like,
but like
you the, had the Pokemon Coliseum and Gale, yes. And XD Gale of Darkness, but
I also bought a GameCube for that reason too.
Yeah. So you got those ones, and obviously you got Stadium and Stadium 2 for the 64. But this is more. Because it brings you back to what you grew up with, because you've got all original 151 in the game. That's it. Just those ones.
That's it?
Yeah.
Back to more excited.
Hang on.
What? Are you gonna need to trade in that game? Because
I don't know.
Because I always think of the red-blue concept, which certain Pokemon are available in certain games.
I would imagine that would be the case.
But Pokemon Yellow was the only time that you didn't need to do that.
But there were still Pokemon missing from that game.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's what they're gonna do. You have the original 151, plus the Alolan Pokemon.
The Alolan versions of them?
Yes. Of
the 151.
Yes. Are gonna be in it as well. They also said that one completely new Pokemon will be in the game as well.
Okay.
And there's a lot of speculation as to that. And we'll talk about that later.
Probably a segue to their newest game.
Maybe.
Pokemon Quest, we'll or whatever see. That is.
I know. Or no. Or it could be a segue to the first games for Generation 8. Because this is not a part of the core games.
Right.
This isn't a Generation 8 game. This isn't a Generation 7 game, which is Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. This is a spinoff. This is part of the Pokemon Go game. Because they're connected to each other.
Okay.
Because you could transfer Pokemon from Pokemon Go to the Let's Go games.
That seems cheap.
I don't know what that's going to entail in terms of, you might only be able to do it to maybe to complete the Pokédex. That's it.
That seems cheap.
I don't know. Maybe you can add them to your party. I don't know.
Either way, that's my thought right there.
It's great.
I'm an adult
now.
And I spent a lot of money on a console.
They literally created a Pokéball that you could carry, that you could go somewhere else with and put a Pokemon in there and it'll be in the ball.
What's the point if you can't let them out?
It's true. Well, then you bring your Switch with you so you can do it.
Either way, I just bought a Nintendo Switch because I'm an adult.
What I've read so far about these Let's Go games, it's for the casual fans. It's for the casual players. It's not for the diehard core series people.
It is,
but they're aiming towards the casual more because it's not part of the core series. They seem to be really wanting this to be like a family game because you can have two people play at the same time.
That is a very interesting concept.
So that's where they're aiming towards. There's gonna be no online features, but you're gonna have like local multiplayer, so like you can still battle people online. And one reason why it's part of Pokemon Go is there's gonna be no wild Pokemon battles. There's still trainer battles. But there's no wild battles.
Then how do you catch a... Now I'm confused.
What, you mean like catch a legendaries? Yeah,
or catch a Pokemon.
It's just like Pokemon Go. Like the catch system's the same way.
Oh, okay. As Pokemon Go. You're not fighting anything.
You're not fighting it, you're just throwing the ball.
Okay.
That's it. Just like Pokemon Go. That's why they're connected to each other. That's why it's not part of the actual series of games.
All right.
That's why this isn't Generation 8. This is just a spinoff. No constant internet connection, too, which is pretty cool. Because that's always been a thing, an issue. They also did announce that they are that the first games for the Generation 8 will be released late 2019. So you've got these games coming out. Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee coming out in November of 2018. This year, next year will be Generation 8. I think so. So what that tells me too is this is their test. They're testing. They're using these games to test out Pokemon on the Switch and RPG, so that they can and then they can improve it to make it better for when the actual core games come out. Makes a lot of sense, actually. But the biggest thing I got from it was what I said earlier: one completely new Pokemon. And so the question is, well, what's the Pokemon? Because now it's Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. Is it a new Eeveelution? There's a lot of speculation it could be that Pikachu might be getting a new evolution.
No love for Raichu, huh?
No, this is an evolution of Raichu.
Still no love for him.
I don't know. Another thing, too, I think I know that people are going to have to figure out as well.
And some people can you, shut if this the is, hell
if this
off.
Is more, if this is more towards being a yellow remake, are you going to be allowed to evolve Pikachu and Eevee since they're your starters? Because remember, in yellow, you couldn't evolve Pikachu.
Yes.
So there's a lot. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. But we also have to remember there was only one Pikachu in Pokemon Yellow, your starter. But you could still get an Eevee in Celadon City.
Mm-hmm.
As in what the generation is talking about. That was the way you got an Eevee. Are you still going to be able to do that? And regardless if it's like, if you got the Pikachu or Eevee one. And are you going to be able to find Wild Pikachu? I'm going to guess probably as well.
Yes.
I'm going to take a guess and say the actual starter you get, whether you have Pikachu or Eevee, you can't evolve them, but you can get an Eevee in Celadon City to evolve it.
Yes.
And obviously Breed, so you could get all the evolutions. And then I'm going to also take a guess and say you could catch Wild Pikachu. And you can evolve it into Raichu. I'll take a guess and say that. Now, who's the one new Pokemon? I'm going to take a guess and say it's not an evolution. I think they're going to make another evolution for line in the for Pikachu. Because you evolve Pikachu into Raichu. And in Generation 7, they introduced the Alolan Raichu, which is an electric psychic type.
Which is dumb.
It's weird. I used it. It was actually pretty fun to use. Now, think about this. About a month ago, I don't remember who from Game Freak. I don't remember who from Game Freak was doing an interview. But they literally dropped a bombshell about about the Pikachu line. About Pikachu when they were making Generation 1, the original Red and Green games for Japan. You want to know what that was? Pikachu used to have a third evolution. It wasn't just Pikachu Raichu. It was Pikachu Raichu and another. And gave detailed information about this Pokemon.
So you think it might be back?
I think they could be bringing it back. Yeah.
All right.
Now here's the info on that Pokemon. Its name is Gorochu, which is a weird name.
Hang on.
I'm not kidding. You can look it up. That's the name.
The first thought that I have now, though.
What?
Is a freaking Raichu with four arms.
It's not a Raichu. It doesn't have four arms.
It's terrifying.
It doesn't have four arms.
And it's going to finish you, and you're just going to, next thing you know, Gorochu wins fatality.
It's definitely not that. What they said was it's got fangs and horns. That's about it.
That's terrifying.
It's terrifying. So a lot of fan art for it has been it's more of in the reddish color and with fangs and arms. And then people have made it and it's,
And it's going to murder everything that you love.
But know this.
the reason it got taken out was because it imbalanced the game. That was the only reason it got taken out. Not because they didn't like the design, not because they couldn't make it fit, but because balance reasons for the game. So that tells me that they had this planned almost all the way up until like a little while before the games before they were finished. And then as they were finishing the game, they realized that Gorochu was overpowered. So they had to take him out.
Huh. All right. Well,
so maybe they're bringing him back.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would they talk about this? This was something that nobody had ever known. No one knew about it, only them. They knew, the Game Freak knew about it because they made it. No one else knew about it until they just up and went and said something about it.
Yeah.
No one even asked. It was just completely thrown out there for no reason.
Hmm.
So maybe this was the reason. Because they are bringing it back.
So here's your big question.
What?
Which one are you getting? Give me the Eevee. Pikachu's an overrated electric mouse.
I want to know the more details on which one, like if you could get.
Already put my pre-order in on it.
Okay.
It's not about.
I would probably go Pikachu.
It's not about what I would think if I can evolve the Eevee or not. For me, it's Pikachu is an overrated electric mouse. Listen, Japanese Mickey, you ain't getting no special preferential treatment from me. To me, you're just another Mon. You're not one of my favorites. Get out of here. You're not even my favorite mouse.
Well, fine. You get Eevee, I'll get Pikachu. You get the Eevee game, I'll get the Pikachu game.
Wow, we spent way too much time on this.
It's okay.
And for those of you that shut the podcast off, well, we're not going to be able to say goodbye to you. But for those of you that did listen, thank you. This has been the Leftovers Podcast on WGR550.com, even though it didn't seem like it for a little bit. But I've got to admit, I'm a little off today, all of a sudden. I mean, heading into this, I was 100%. I was all in. I was excited to do the podcast again and everything like that. But I found some very sad news today. As a Buff State alumni, Paul Smith was in the hospital over the last few weeks, the engineer for Buffalo State. And an engineer doing a lot of freelancing work, you'd always see him down at the arena, behind the scenes guy. He unfortunately has passed away. And that man taught me a lot of what I know on the technical side of things. And I want to say that, you know, I'm going to miss him. My thoughts are with the family. And like I said, I'm going to miss seeing him around. The guy taught me everything that I knew about sound and about how to work things, and even helped me out with my struggles down at the arena this year as a rookie op down at the arenas. So thank you, Paul, for everything, and rest in peace. Because, I mean, damn it, it sucks. And anyone that went to Buff State, anyone that was a member of WBNY, you knew Paul Smith. And the guy was awesome. He was a legend, just like Tom Connolly before him. So my thoughts are with his family. And again, Paul, I'm going to miss you, man. So sorry to end it on a somber note there, you know, but you know, I'm not all there today. I am not 100% mentally here. This was not my best podcast. And to go full Ryan O'Reilly, I need to be better, but at the same time, well, it's tough.
It is.
You know, you see one of your mentors have to leave the planet, and well, I mean, it sucks. Freaking sucks. But again, this has been the Leftovers Podcast. Paul Smith, rest in peace. You are the man. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
Signing off. Until next time. Thank you, Sunday, as always, for listening.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon. Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash. Mm-mm-mm.
Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB. And all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.